Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee on this Friday morning. We want to move on to Syria now. There are more signs today that the regime of Bashar al-Assad may be unraveling in that country. Heavy street fighting in the capital of Damascus between rebels with small arms and government troops with tanks and helicopter gunships. More than 20,000 people, meanwhile, were reported to have fled into neighboring Lebanon and other borders as well. Here to give us the latest is Borzu Daragahi, Middle East correspondent for the Financial Times. He joins us from Beirut in Lebanon. Borzu, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
First, can we have the latest from the streets, and then we'll move on to the borders. What is the latest on this street fighting in Damascus between rebels and government troops?
It's a murky picture. We actually have someone in Damascus. He's in a relatively safe neighborhood. He says that things are somewhat quiet and subdued compared to normal, but there is, other than a few plumes of smoke rising off in the distance, there's very little evidence where he's at of the ongoing fighting. But in terms of reports we're getting from the hot neighborhoods, we're hearing of intense fighting taking place in an effort by the regime to take control of some key neighborhoods that have fallen under the control of the rebels, including Midan, which is a big sprawling lower and middle class neighborhood just near the city center. And the government claims they've taken control of that neighborhood, that they've cleansed it, quote unquote, of the militants. We're not able to confirm that from here.
So there seems to be fighting neighborhood to neighborhood, perhaps block by block, between in some of these neighborhoods between rebels and government forces. Get a little bit of context, Borzu. What does this really say? If you can give us some context about the what I described as maybe the noose tightening around Assad's regime. Does fighting in Damascus speak to that? Are there broader political currents going on that suggest that he may be teetering at this point?
Well, you've always had people in Damascus, huge swaths of the city, that are demographically, politically, ideologically allied with the opposition. But up until very recently, those swaths have either been staying at home for fear of the security forces or engaged in sporadic peaceful protests. As the peaceful protest movement across Syria became more and more militarized under the extreme brutal violence of the Syrian regime's killing machine, this became sort of inevitable that as the protesters began to take up arms and decided that peaceful protest is not the way to overthrow this government, that it doesn't understand these sort of Gandhi-esque tactics except as a way of killing more people, this became somewhat inevitable that eventually these sorts of armed uprisings that were taking place all over the country would reach the heart of Damascus because, as I said, Damascus is large swaths of it, at least, are very sympathetic to the opposition.
Well, that's the scene in Damascus. We're speaking with Borzu Daragahi, Middle East correspondent for the Financial Times. Let's move to the borders, Borzu, where we have reports that about 20,000 Syrians have fled their homes for the borders with Lebanon, but also many to Syria, to Turkey, as I understand it. What latest reports are you getting from border crossings with those two countries?
We're getting kind of conflicting reports about the northern border in Turkey. But according to even Iraqi officials, two Iraqi border crossings are now under the control of the rebels. This is a huge development, but it also points to the demographic tendencies in that part of Syria, very much Sunni against the dominant Alawite clan, very much linked to Iraq and Anbar province and the Arabian Peninsula, and kind of hostile to the elites in Damascus for centuries. As for the Turkish border, I suggest that listeners, if they can, go up to go up to YouTube and sort of search for this videotape of these rebels taking this border crossing. It is quite extraordinary. It's an amazing piece of video footage in which the rebels literally take over the border crossing and begin tearing down posters of Bashar al-Assad and even start putting up the independence flag of Syria versus the Ba'athist flag of Syria in a sign that the area has been taken control of by the rebels.
What you said about Sunni sympathizers in Anbar province and in Iraq with the rebels suggests that there may now be the possibility of aid for rebels pouring in over the border if rebels against Assad are controlling border crossings, that aid for them could start pouring in from Iraq. Are there any indications that that's happening or may start to happen?
There's no indications that actual the weapons flows are coming in through Iraq. There have been some allegations, even by Iraqi officials, that that Islamic militants, extremists who were active in Iraq, are flowing back now into Syria to take up the cause against the Alawite regime in Damascus. Where the weapons are coming from is through Lebanon, the densely forested border crossings, the mountain areas between Syria and Lebanon, and also through Turkey, which is the main channel for weapons pouring into Idlib province, the northernmost province of Syria, which at this point is, according to some estimates, 50 to 80% under the control of the rebels. And I mean like governance, whole cities, whole towns under the control of the rebels.
We'll put up a link to that YouTube video of the takeover of the border crossing with Turkey that you described, Borzu Dargahi, on our website on thetakeaway.org. Listeners can check it out there. Couple of seconds left, Borzu. You're in Beirut. Are Lebanese people nervous that they're going to start to become a focus of this crisis, or at least that their border might be?
Indeed, the troubles have already poured into Lebanon. People are scared. Lebanese are divided over whether to support or despise the Syrian regime. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens once the Syrian regime collapses.
There's a possibility now that the crisis in Syria is slowly spreading to neighboring countries. That's Borzu Dargahi, Middle East correspondent for the Financial Times, reporting from Beirut, where Lebanese people are becoming nervous about becoming part of the crisis in Syria, not to mention the border crossings taken over by rebels. Borzu, thanks for your report.
It's been a pleasure.